In Exodus 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What it says is, it doesn't say the first month of the year, it says it shall be the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of your life to you. Up until this time, you weren't even born. You understand? And then it goes on in the great mystery of Passover. Now go to Song of Solomon 2. And this is what that you have to, this is the sense of this Passover that I want you to be able to impart to the people in your groups. And thus it is written, Hark, my beloved, behold, he cometh. Well, it's in the King James, it says, The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. 2:8, I'm sorry. And what God is saying to us in His Spirit, and what He's saying to every one of you, is, Behold, my beloved spoke and said unto me, What are you doing here in a place of unclean people whose flesh and whose mind is as the flesh of brute beasts and whose issue is like the issue of horses? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's the meaning of Passover. It's the betrothal of a people, one, a people that are one, to the Holy One of Israel. Do you understand?
Was what you just read the right translation of verses 8 through...
It's
through 11 or through 10?
No, I mean it's the expansion, but it's 2:10.
Okay.
Lord of the universe, thou didst tell us that for 400 years we would be enslaved, and these have not yet expired. And God replied, They have expired, for it says, For lo, winter is past. In verse 11. Now thereunto the righteous now completely uncovered their heads, which heretofore had been covered. You uncover your head, there is no more covering between you and God. You got it? The flowers appear on the earth, in verse 12. The flowers, from God's perspective, are the righteous whose head is uncovered. Okay? The time of singing is come. The time has come to sing me songs and praises. That's in verse 12. Now, for the future reference, somehow, I wish we'd have done it, but the song of Moses and 15:1-18 in Exodus is the song of praise besides the Hallel at the Passover. sometime, I hope, hopefully John will be able to target that in music. 15, 1 through 18. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land, and that's the turtle dove. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. These are the righteous and the upright, whose righteousness is of the Lord. The vines in blossom give forth their fragrance. Where is that?
The tender grape giveth its milk.
Yeah. The vines give forth their fragrance. These are the people in the body who are the ordinary people who have repented. And the act of repenting causes the prayer of their thought life to be a fragrance unto the Lord. When Israel left Egypt, God said to them, "You have no other months." Okay. Then it goes on to talk about really what it means to redeem the time, and I'll just give it to you.
What are you reading now?
This is the middle.
This is the expansion of.
In the past, you've had your festivals. Now there are no other festivals before me, save these, whether you proclaim them in their due season or not. In the past, this was done by me, but from now on and henceforth, it is entirely handed over to you. If you say yes, it will be yes. If you say no, it will be no. In all cases, this month shall be the beginning unto you. Moreover, even if you wish to add another month to a year, I will confirm it, because you have spoken it.
Well, that's good. That's redeeming the time.
That's what redeeming the time means. You understand? When Passover is celebrated, the purpose of time, I mean, everything is new. And in verse, it's talking about leaping on the mountains. In verse 8 again, "Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains," and there's a jillion meanings of what that means. But for us, what it means he is treading on our high places. He has tread them. In the land of Egypt, in verse 12, don't go there yet. He says, "Thus I will do in standing in the land of Egypt, but not in Egypt itself." So, in other words, you're in the world, but not of the world. "Great was the love of God that was showed to Israel, in that he revealed himself in this place of idol worship, immorality, and uncleanness, in order that he might redeem them from it." It was like a priest. He was like unto a priest whose heave offering had fallen into a cemetery, and who said to myself, "What shall I do? To make myself unclean is impossible. To leave the heave offering there is also impossible. It's better for me to make myself unclean once and then purify myself again, so that I do not lose the heave offering altogether. Our forefathers and we are God's heave offering. Israel is the Lord's portion, the first fruit of the increase. In other words, we are here among the dead, among the idols, among the unclean, and God himself comes down to redeem us, even in that he made himself unclean in doing it, and that's what the meaning of the cross is.
First thing you read, the first portion about him revealing himself in the place of uncleanness and idol worship, is him revealing himself in me.
Now, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. It is written, "Who is she that looketh forth as the dawn?" Four eulogies of Israel are mentioned here, corresponding to the four exiles through which Israel did not deny God. Well, anyway, it goes on that of being redeemed from Babylon, redeemed from Rome. I mean, redeemed here. Let me go down. Redeemed from Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want to go into all that. That's too... Forget that I just said about that. Oh, I don't want to go through all that. Let me just talk a minute. We're going to study the Song of Solomon on the Sunday after we celebrate this past, you know, the week following. But it's important that you understand that from God's standpoint, the Passover is the betrothal. The Passover is the engagement. The Passover is it's the time in which, but it's the period between Passover and Tabernacles, in which you are totally and completely under the covering. But you are, every man that hath his hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. The period of betrothal to marriage is the period where the bride makes herself ready in the book of Revelation. She has readied herself. Now, I don't say this lightly. You ready yourself only by putting on exclusively the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness of Christ. Knowing that you are manifested in the flesh, but you're only justified in the Spirit. I firmly believe, if it's not this one, it will be a very soon one, that the period between Passover and Tabernacles will be the last period on the face of the earth. It'll be the last time there is time. That's the mindset that you must engender to the people. It's the betrothal, and a few months later, it's the marriage. All the other appurtenances, or however you say that word, of Passover and all the little things we do are only attendant to that one thing. That's why Christ said all of the things, any man that is fit for the kingdom of God, once he puts his hand to the plow, if he turns back, he's unfit. That's why, I mean, there is nothing that can detract, nothing that can take you away from that setting your face. that zeal, that reality. Everything else in the universe is an enemy of that position. There is no, but I want you to believe, to know, that the next tabernacles may very well be out of time. Otherwise, this will be a meaningless passage. You understand? It's the real betrothal. This is the real one. And that's the kind of zeal that you have got to put forth into the people. And it has to be done without mercy. They have to see that there can be no spot or wrinkle. You got to know by now that negotiating your problems hasn't worked. Analyzing the problems hasn't worked. Betrothal, marriage, period, end of story.
Thinking about Jesus, the man, you know, growing up in Israel and over and over going through this thing, but then the 3.5 years that there was, before that, time when the oblation ceased, there was the Passover before that, when that was experienced in fullness by him, how everything up until that was just the coming to the awareness just as we did.
Yeah, there's no difference. If he is in this world, so are we. But, I mean, everything else is intellectual bullshit. Okay.
I'm having trouble with the betrothal of this, putting it together for some reason. The Passover is the betrothal. It's a missing light.
Good thing you don't see.
Well, it's.
And this is the first day. It's the beginning of the preparation.
Up until now, God has been courting. On the Passover, there's an engagement ring put on in today's understanding. On Pentecost, the empowerment for the bride preparing herself happens. And on Tabernacles is the wedding. The thing that leads up to Tabernacles is Yom Kippur, in which the Day of Judgment. But if we have the right garment on, there is no judgment. So all of time and space's purpose is so God could have a bride. Israel is the bride of God. She who sees God is what Israel means.
So God has called his people out of Egypt to begin.
But not his people, his person.
His.
God no longer deals with you as an individual. Okay. Once you leave Egypt. The only time God deals with you as an individual is when you're running around Egypt. And he's just doing what you can leave anything you want and do all this stuff and you have all this stuff. You're just in Egypt trying to get to the land of Goshen. But when you call out, when you leave this, then God betrothed, you betrothed to God. You come to the Pentecost at Sinai, you're empowered for the to have on the right garment. And then when you reach Jerusalem, the marriage ceremony takes place.
That clears up a bit, but the idea of being called out from the world, from Egypt.
In the same way that when a marriage takes place, when the engagement is a sanctification, the wooing is a sanctification, The engagement is a further sanctification. The wedding is the final sanctification. Okay?
We need some weddings.
Yeah. We need one wedding.
It's like there's a verse we saw last night, in, I guess Exodus 11, where it says he makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. The Egyptians is plural, and Israel is singular.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest lesson. As long as you are, I mean, as long as you know, I mean, we can play all the games and I can make fun of everybody again right here, but as long as you want God as your personal Savior, as long as you want a personal relationship to God, by definition, you're in Israel, I mean, you're in Egypt. You want God leading you. You're in Egypt.
I'm glad this is said, because that clears up a whole lot of gray as far as who these people are out there running around seeking God on their individual basis. And they're, you know, the people seeking God on an individual basis.
Right. It has nothing to do, I mean, they may be as sincere as...
And they are, as they can be.
But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Until Passover. And the picture, and the reason that Christ was crucified on Passover was that was his exodus from time, to show you the true meaning of Egypt. It's anything in time. Anything judged by the senses. You know, each of you must be consumed with the zeal of the Lord. Otherwise, you can't teach the people without zeal, because they'll detect it in a New York minute. And the zeal of the Father will consume you. And it's like, it's very, very difficult to teach these things to people when you are working and have jobs and families, and because they will say to you, well, you are taking thought for tomorrow, you are providing, you are and somehow you've got to get through that. You've got to push that barrier in yourself more than you've ever thought of pushing it. You've got to push through that gossamer veil of being concerned and guarding you and your children and your families. I mean, it's got to be... Am I communicating? And I guess what I
Yeah, we have the opposite. What you have is, you don't know how you don't know about my position. I need to do this and this and this. I have a family to provide, which you've always heard about. We have the opposite. Is, you know, you're taking thought for your life. You've got a house. You've got this. You've got that. So it's a different. The flip side.
Yeah, and it has to be more than the religious, well, I have it, but I really don't like it, or, you know, or And it's got to be something that you openly discuss between husband and wife. To push it, to push it, to push it, to push it. So that there's not the slightest hint in the spirit of protection of self, of you or yours. And it's difficult. But you have to see that the spots and the wrinkles that must be rid of between Passover and Tabernacles are the arenas where the garment is spotted by the flesh. And it's risky. It's big time risky. Anyway, thinking these things. Okay? Anybody have anything else? Everybody get... Take it, big guy.